Good morning. Let's open our Bibles to 1 John 4:15 to 21. 1 John 4:15 to 21. Whoever confesses that Jesus is the Son of God, God abides in him and he in God. We have come to know and have believed the love which God has for us. God is love, and the one who abides in love abides in God, and God abides in him. By this, love is perfected with us, so that we may have the confidence in the day of judgment. Because as he is, so also are we in this world. There's no fear in love, but perfect love casts out fear. Because fear involves punishment, and the one who fears is not perfected in love. We love because he first loved us. If someone says, I love God, and hates his brother, he is a liar. For the one who does not love his brother, whom he has seen, cannot love God, whom he has not seen. And this commandment we have from him, that the one who loves God should love his brother also. Let's pray. Father God, we thank you for this morning. We thank you for just a chance to come hear your word. Holy Spirit, we just ask that you guide and lead this time, that you will really, Lord, that you will just open our ears to hear what you have to share. So God, we just thank you and we love you. In your name we pray. Amen. So 1 John 4 is talking about a variety of things, but mostly it's talking about Christian love and judgment. So if we look at verse 16, it talks about residing in love or abiding in love. And this phrase, which was continuing on from the thought from verse 15, represents the main point of the entirety of John's letter. A person who is truly a Christian and part of the Christian community correctly identifies Jesus as the incarnate Son of God. Christians demonstrate their belief in Jesus by loving others, admitting sin, and letting God transform their lives. These are the three things that are indicators of a believer. They identify Jesus correctly, they admit their sin, and they allow God to transform their lives. And it's in that, not necessarily in that order. I think it usually starts with admitting your sin and then starting to believe in Jesus, or it could be the other way around. But also, it's just that is the way we identify Christian community. These actions identify a true child of God and who belongs to the believing community. In verse 17, it goes on to be talking about being perfected with us. God's love is made perfect or complete among believers when they reflect God's loving character in their lives. Love is not an abstract concept for John. It concerns the outward working of believers' faith in ordinary interactions with people. I think in today's age, we tend to see love as kind of this abstract idea. Love is a feeling. Love is something to be won. But John is making it clear, love is not a feeling. It's what you do. It is that simple day-to-day interactions that we have with those around us. I mean, think about a time that you most felt loved. Sometimes it's a grand gesture, but I know for me, oftentimes love is not in the big things, but it's in the simple things. I always ask for interesting presents from my mom. I don't know why. I asked for like a bag that was... When I turned 16, most kids asked for a car. I asked for a bag that was from this organization in Africa that was helping women. When I graduated high school, I could have asked for just about anything, and I asked for the watch she had that she got when she graduated high school. I just have these interesting gifts. I love gifts, but reality is not the big things that get me. When I taught school, we did this love language gift exchange for the health class I taught. And to be honest, the health class was a bit of a joke. There was no curriculum that, yes, Rachel, I think I might have taught her health. It was a bit of a joke. There was nothing really that I could teach. They learned the same things over and over again. But one of the things we did was try and get the kids to really have social health, not just physical health. And so we did a gift exchange, this love language gift exchange, and I think I only did it my last year. And each kid drew a name out of the hat, and on the name, the kids... They had already taken the 5 love language tests, so they knew what their love language was, and they wrote that on, and so one of their classmates had to do something for them. And so some kids, when they found it was quality time, they took the person out to Starbucks for coffee, and they talked. Some kids knew as gifts, so they bought them, I don't know, I don't remember exactly what they did, but we'll say a binder or something. Probably a little nicer than that. But on the day that they had to present what was done for them, one girl brought in a cake. And on the cake was this little poster with all these words written on it. And it was a gift for me. And I was not part of the love language gift exchange. But to be honest, it was probably one of the most touching things I ever received from a student. Because what she did was she went around and she asked each kid to say one word about me. Now, some of it was hilarious. Like, I still remember one kid thought I was the most fashionable person. And I was like, that is the most ridiculous statement I've ever heard. But apparently my fashion spoke to her or him. I don't actually know who it was. But it was things like funny or loving. And these words just stood out to me. And that gift, even though it really didn't cost her anything, she just took extra dough, extra batter that she was making for the other person. And she made me a cake as well. And then she made this little sign. I actually don't even remember which kid it was. But the reality was the small things, is day-to-day interactions. And watching those kids start to love each other and see how to love, it actually changed their grade a bit. The rest of that year, you could just see their tangible caring for one another. Our daily interactions, our character, shouldn't be just an assignment like I gave them. But we should be allowing God who lives in us to transform us so that our character starts to mirror God's love. You know, we could be assigned to do something, but that doesn't actually mean we're truly loving that person, right? I can't honestly say all 20 of those kids truly loved the person by the end of the time they gave the gift. But they did start to learn and start to get in touch with what it meant to love someone. When I was in fourth grade, someone in my Sunday school class asked our teacher what God was like. And I'll still remember Mr. Ipple's answer. I don't remember who asked the question, and actually last night I was trying to remember who it was, and for a moment I thought, could possibly have been me, but I can't remember who asked the question. And what he said was not necessarily theologically the most accurate answer, but it has stuck with me. And he said, God is like a big blob of love. God is like a big blob of love. This is the same teacher who put us all in his car, like 15 of us, in a van and drove us to the ice cream shop during Sunday school. So he made a pretty big impact on all of our lives. But this sense of who God is a big blob of love, is something I've struggled and thought through my entire life since hearing it. Now, it may not be completely accurate, but it does give me a picture. See, a blob doesn't make sense to us about love, but this blob can change shape. It can change form, right? Like if it oozes, it can get larger and it can spread out. It can also be placed in a cup. It can hit the life of the person they're trying to reach. So if the person needs someone to love them with patience that day, you take that form. If someone needs love with a little bit of guidance, you take that form. And it's not saying that God isn't a structured God in his love, but God knows what we need. And we too can be like a blob and allow, but instead of just letting the shape take our form, we allow God to take and make our form. Right? We can allow God to put us in whatever vessel and shape he needs for that day. And one of the things that we need to do is start to listen to him so we can hear him, and that way we can truly demonstrate what love is. And as we spend more time with God, the better we get at hearing from God, the better we get to know his voice, and the more we start to look like Jesus. One of the other things that you see in this verse in chapter 7, in verse 17 of chapter 4, is that on the day of judgment, we can have confidence. We can have confidence in the basis of God's love towards us. We do not need to fear his judgment. Now, that means when we are truly believers. If we're not a believer, we should probably fear his judgment. In verse 18, he goes on to talk about fear and punishment. John further explains why believers can be confident of God's love on the day of judgment. God's wrath is reserved for those who unrepentantly dishonor others with apathy. While believers may remain confident of their position on the day of judgment, they should also maintain serious reverence for God. One thing I was reflecting on last night was that I think oftentimes in this age, we have forgotten the reverence of God. We have forgotten who he is. No, we don't need, if we're truly a believer, we do not need to fear judgment day. In fact, we should look forward to it. We should look forward to it because it's going to be the prophetic coming into fruition. It's God's action. We will be able to live with him for eternity. But somewhere down the line, I think many Christians, myself included, we've forgotten who God is. When I did teacher aiding, I had it's not student teaching. Student teaching, you take over the class for an extended period of time. Teacher aiding would be you go in and you help a teacher out for a semester so you get an idea, but you teach a few lessons. And the guy I was teaching with told the kids, because I was going to be observed one day, and so the guy, my professor was coming in, so the teacher said, if you don't behave, God will smite you. And I was like, These poor kids were like, so if I don't do, I'm going to, really, it was really bad. Really, really bad. But in some level, though, God can smite us. You know, he really could snap his fingers and we could be gone. And I think we often forget that. How powerful he truly is. When we walk in sin, living in a life of unrepentance shows us that we don't revere God. One thing I've noticed also is that as believers, we're so casual with sin these days. Not necessarily you in this room, but just a general feeling I have from believers is that it's okay to sin. It's okay, and we've defined what sin is. You know, we have churches out there that, I was talking to a friend this week, and she was in the States for a period of time, and she said, I don't know what's going on with the churches. They have, I'm not going to list the things she said, but she's like, I have no idea what is going on. What is happening to believers? And this ability just to walk in sin and say it is okay, and that the church is actually agreeing with sin. And we need to start to understand that and start to believe that and really truly desire an intimate relationship with God. I was thinking about this word casual, right? And actually, I think there's something beautiful about being casual with somebody. But when you're casual with somebody without intimacy, you take advantage. You take advantage of them. Right? If you're just casual with somebody you have no relationship with, for a while it works. Right? Like if you're just completely casual with everybody. But like imagine you have a new boss, right? You get a new job and you're completely casual with your new boss. I don't think that usually will go over that well. Or a parent. If you're always completely casual with your parent, like your words, you just let your words flip out of your mouth casually, like you don't even think about your words. At some point, there's going to be a divide that is created. Being casual with somebody but with intimacy is where true relationship is. When you are intimate with somebody, true casual being truly who you are, that's when you have that deep relationship. You're not going to have a deep relationship with somebody who's distanced from you, and you're not going to have a deep relationship with somebody that you're casual with. You're going to have a deep relationship with somebody when you are intimate with them, and then you get to be truly who you are. And we need to start to really remember that, and we need to work for it. You know, Pete Andrew talked about we needing to work in our relationship with God, and I think it's something that's been on almost repeat lately at EMPs and on Sundays, is this need to work, not for our salvation, but to work out our salvation, to work through our salvation. And we have to really work for our relationship with God. This past week, I received some pretty bad news. And honestly, I had no emotions about it for a few days. Like, non-emotional in any way. And honestly, it was kind of bothering me that I was that unemotional about something of that large of an issue. Right? And so I was going a little bit crazy. And I think Wednesday, it kind of hit. And I asked some people to pray. But last night, I was losing it. Not like emotionally, but like angry. No one was home, so there's no one to lose it at. But I was angry at everything. You know, I got out of the taxi, I was carrying meat, the meat guy didn't have enough meat, I was upset. It started to downpour, like literally I stepped out of the taxi and it just started raining. There was no rain. I step out and it was like a downpour, and I was soaking wet, everything. And then I couldn't find my cake tins, and I was trying to make cake for my roommate's birthday, and I just was losing it. I was like, nothing is going right. And I like completely had to stop. Like, what is going on? And I realized I hadn't been intimate with God. I hadn't been intimate with him this week. I hadn't just sat in his presence, and I didn't allow God to work through what I had learned and heard. See, being intimate with God is not always about our sin. Like, I didn't sin. The news wasn't about anything I had done. But being intimate about God is being real with him and expressing ourselves. And when we do that, we can have a beautiful relationship with him. As we go on to verses 19, 20, and 21, we see that we can love because God first loved us. But in 20, he talks about a liar. He describes a liar as anyone who claims knowledge of God but fails to carry out his commandment to love fellow Christians and, by extension, other people in general. According to John, this person is a liar because it is impossible to love God without also demonstrating love to other believers. In verse 21, he talks about loving our brother, and doing so demonstrates an accurate understanding of the love of God. The believer's responsibility to show Christ-like sacrificial love to other Christians is not optional. It is a commandment by God as a way of displaying his love to the world. It's a commandment. It's not a, if you want to love your brother, go for it. It's a, you must love your brother. You must. Love is a sacrifice, not an option. Loving our brother, loving our sister is something that we should be eagerly seeking out to do. I was talking with that friend this week, and she was sharing how some stuff had happened and how she was talking with one of her non-Christian friends. And her non-Christian friends was like, why aren't your Christian friends helping you out in this situation? What's going on here? And she gave some answer, and it was actually, in a worldly sense, looking at it, it was actually a really good answer as to why she didn't need to expect her Christian friends to help her. And I can't remember her exact words, but it was something like, well, just because someone's Christian, we can't expect them to help us. She did a much better job than that. But I was thinking about that last night, and I think she was wrong. Her non-Christian friend was right. Her non-Christian friend was looking at the situation where she needed help. She wasn't presently there to be able to do it herself. And it wasn't like just a simple problem. And her non-Christian friend's like, what's going on? You have all these Christian friends from your church and no one is willing to help you? Not a single person can help you? Now, I'm a big believer in boundaries. In fact, sometimes I think I have too many boundaries. They might be more like walls. But if we are actually watching and wondering, and we see someone in help, and we don't help them, we have missed the mark. As a Christian, we have missed the mark. Our GIC verse, John 13, 34 through 35 says this, a new command I give you, love one another as I have loved you, so you must love one another. By this, everyone will know that you are my disciples if you love one another. Loving each other wasn't the new command. It was loving like Jesus did. Jesus' love was sacrificial. It was not self-serving. It put others first, but always God above all. It was walking in his ways, taking care of those closest to him, but also reaching out to others. If we want to be a great witness and we are not loving those within the church, we're not going to draw people to the church. And we're not going to draw people to Jesus. So today, as our worship group comes up, I want us just to reflect on a few things. One, do you truly feel the love of God in your life, and is it transforming you? If it hasn't been transforming you, is there something that you've done, a sin you need to repent of, that may help bring that intimacy back to God? Are you fearful of God's punishment? Or are you eagerly awaiting judgment day because you know that's the day that you get to spend eternity with God? Or three, have we not been loving our brothers, our sisters? And if so, is God speaking to you about a specific person that he wants you to reach out to today or this week?
cross before me, the world behind. The cross before me, the world behind me. The cross before me, the world behind me. No turning back, no turning back.
Take one more moment just to allow God to speak to our hearts this morning. So let's just sit for just another, just a little bit, and just allow God to really just speak to us. Let's turn to our community focus. Let's pray for those who have cancer. Let's pray for those who are going through chemo and radiation therapy. Let's just pray for God's healing hands in their life. And let's just pray for God to really give them peace during this time. Let's pray for those who are suffering from illnesses but also need salvation. Let's just pray for God's true healing hand, His salvation hand, to come into their lives. Pray for those who are suffering from various infirmities. Let's just pray for God, for them, just to be in God's presence as well. For those who are seeking jobs, let's just pray for God to open the right door at the right time. Let's just pray for peace and patience in the waiting. Let's just pray for wisdom on which jobs for them to take as well. To our mission focus. Let's pray for Japan, Peace Sophia. She'll be arriving for retreat on June 28th. Let's just pray for her time here, that she'll just be refreshed and renewed. And let's just pray for her work in Japan. Let's also pray for Cambodia. Grace, she arrives today. Let's pray that she can also just really enjoy her time at retreat and in our community, that God will just really fill her up during this time. Let's also pray for Oasis House and P. Jenny. Let's just pray for Cambodia, that the people there will really have an encounter with God. Pray for our mission council. Let's just pray for wisdom. Let's pray for unity. Let's just pray in this transition where PSAM has taken over the mission council as lead. Let's just pray that they will just really hear God's voice and just work together. Pray for our local outreach teams, our groups. Let's pray for Agape, Homie, SP Lights, Freedom, Bridge, and Recreation. Let's just pray that we can just be true love to one another and to each other and to these different groups of people. Let's just pray that we can be a light in this city and that people will truly come to encounter God. Pray for SP Fam, our fostering adoption ministry led by Cadence. Let's pray for families who are signing up for the process to go smoothly. Let's pray for more to sign up to do it. Let's also pray for baby Sung Hoi, who will be going to their forever family today, I believe it is. So let's just pray for that transition. Let's just pray for that little one to really know God, and that family will just really bond well. Pray for our Friday evening gatherings. Let's pray for our retreat prayer. Let's pray that people will just really hear from God tonight. Just really pray on behalf of our church. And let's pray for SP Youth Alpha. Tonight is their last Alpha So let's just pray that those who've come out will really just continue to come out. Let's pray that they'll really know God, and this time will just be seeds planted, and God will continue to just feed into them. Let's pray for our house churches. This should be their last house church for the season, since retreat starts next Friday. So let's just pray for Elements, McCain, McDaddy, McRobinson, and Tavistock, that they will really just have a great finishing to their season, that they will just really be able to spend time together, just have fun, and just encounter God together. Let's pray for our annual retreat, which starts in a week. Let's really just pray for our hearts to be ready. Let's pray that we don't wait to get to retreat to get ourselves ready for this time. Let's also pray for all the logistics that still are going on for buses, hotel, the kids' ministry, everything. Let's just pray for God to really be there. Let's also pray for R.T. Kendall and Bobby Connor as they're preparing messages, as they're making their way, and as people are traveling into Hong Kong, that we'll just be ready for a retreat. Let's just cover our retreat. So God, we just thank you today, Lord. We thank you that we can come and just be in your presence, Lord, that you're God who desires to be with us, Lord, that you desire for us to be your sheep and that we can hear your voice. God, I just pray, Lord, as we go out into this in today, Lord, that we can truly love one another. God, that we can love our brothers and our sisters, and we can also love our neighbor. God, that we can truly be your vessels, Lord, that you can shape us and mold us. Today and tomorrow and every day, Lord, to the way you want us to be. So God, we thank you and we love you. In your name we pray. Amen. Enjoy the rest of your prayer time.